I was speaking with a Catholic friend of mine just last week, I believe it was, and we were talking about many of the symbols. We actually were talking about the rosary that many Catholic believers use in their spiritual journey, and I was commenting how I think Protestants in many ways don't appreciate the power of symbol. We Protestants can be very logocentric, word-centered. I mean, if you just look sometimes at our worship folders, there are lots of words in here, and our hymns are all, you know, four or five verses and just packed with theology and whatever. And I can be very logocentric as well, because this is something that I tend to excel in. I love reading, I love writing, So we as Protestants, though, in some ways as a reaction against maybe some of the things we didn't agree with in the Catholic Church way back when, and maybe even still today, we kind of moved away from some of the mystery and symbols that the Catholic Church has used for that the Church period has used for centuries and centuries and centuries. Way back to St. Augustine, back in the 300s AD, and then made official in the official words in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, they talk about sacraments, which are symbols, are physical symbols, in these terms, that sacraments are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace. Sacraments, and I would say symbols of various kinds, are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace. In other words, these physical things we do help us to see and taste and feel and smell and experience these things that we can't see and feel physically, the things that God does and is doing. That's what these sacraments, like communion, like baptism, that's what these do. We are physical beings, and God connects and forms us and transforms us by physical means. And so we need to recognize that as human beings. Even words, if we think about it, reading, hearing a sermon, which Protestants are all about. We build our sanctuaries like this, like lecture halls sometimes, because we're so intent on the reading and hearing of the word and preaching. Even those are physical acts. Our eyes and our ears, we receive these things physically. Symbols engage us beyond words. Sometimes words are not adequate. Symbols draw us into the mysteries of God and God's works beyond the words that we humans could use to explain or express them. And this is why most covenants have symbols. These symbols are meant to move us more fully into our covenant relationships. Covenants have symbols. Just a couple examples, three examples really, of biblical covenant symbols. The first was the verse that was read, Becky read from Deuteronomy 30. This verse that, you know, we're not going to get too graphic today, but it says, circumcise your hearts, or have your hearts circumcised. Okay, so we know that circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and then with Israel. And in a sense, what Deuteronomy is saying and what Paul actually says in Romans 2 is that circumcision is a sign of what God is doing or what God needs to do in us. That in some sense, there has to be a kind of operation where something is removed so that we can be more receptive to the works of God. I told you I wouldn't get too graphic. But that is what the scriptures are saying, that the point of this symbol is. Baptism in Romans 6, which was also read, is this symbol, Paul says, of what God has done in us. That in baptism, it's a picture that we have died and been buried with Christ in his death. And then the assurance that we will again be raised out of the water. We don't leave people in the water in baptism. We raise them out of it to new life. This baptismal symbol gets to the very heart of what Jesus has done and what it means to be in the new covenant with Christ. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 3. He's talking about actually Noah and the flood. That's a whole other part of this. But he says, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This symbol of baptism is wrapped up and tied into the new covenant work that God has done through Jesus and Jesus' resurrection. One more. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about marriage. And he says this. He quotes Genesis 2 and then goes on. He says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." That's from Genesis. And Paul says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. There's this a bunch of symbols going on here, that marriage is a symbol. The union of a man and a woman is a symbol of the union, the spiritual union of Christ and his bride, the church. And beyond that, I would suggest that actually marriage has its own covenant symbols. And I'm not just talking about our rings, although these are symbols. We use lots of covenant symbols. Sometimes we have unity candles or sand or whatever in ceremonies. These are symbols of marriage. But I would suggest that the primary marriage covenant symbol is sex. It is this physical, outward, and visible sign of the spiritual, invisible union of two people becoming one flesh, as we see in Genesis. Covenants all have symbols. And what we see here is that there are two key truths. That on one hand, the symbol isn't the point. Okay, the symbol isn't the whole point. It's not, water isn't the point. He says it's not, Peter says it's not about like washing dirt off your body. Okay, so the symbol isn't the point, but symbols point us to the point. And they're almost necessary for the physical living out of the covenant. We need physical things to draw us, physical people, back into the work and the calling to physically live out the calling of God and our covenant promises. And so we have our own new covenant symbol. So now I'm going to walk it down here. I'm going to be very careful. I'm focused on the bowl, so I don't hope I won't spill anything or break anything. Okay. So Jim Yurito, we know, one of our brothers, is a glass worker, a master of this, and so we've commissioned Jim to make a symbol for our member covenant. And what we have is a bowl. Okay, and it is beautiful. Can we just take a moment and just appreciate God's gift to Jim and Jim's gift to us, please? Thank you. Okay, so keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut off that appreciation. That was so wrong. Okay, so why a bowl? Why a bowl? Okay, so here's what we're thinking. All covenants, symbols, have something in them that points us to the nature of the covenant itself, something that's going on in the relationship itself. And so first of all, a bowl, what a bowl does, why we use bowls for cereal in the morning, is that it gathers things together. It brings things together. As something enters into a bowl, it slides down the side towards the other things in that bowl. This is our covenant relationship as a community. That as we live out our covenant together, we are drawn more deeply into relationship with one another and with Christ. I'm going to talk about the colors next. We talked about what colors, and Jim was telling me about this technique he was using and experimenting with and some of the colors he was thinking. And what we have are blues and greens. These are water-type colors, baptismal colors, in a sense. Our member covenant is a covenant among baptized people. It's a covenant within a covenant. We enter the new covenant through baptism. That's our entrance into the covenant. This is the symbol that we use. And so the bowl reflects that we are a community of baptized people coming together in relationship. And so the stones that you'll put in, I'll talk about this in a second, these are all water-type
colors, baptismal colors that we are entering into together. Third, I want to talk about the symbolism of the stones. And I want to read this verse to you from 1 Peter 2. Come to him, Jesus, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. It talks about Jesus as the living stone, the first, the cornerstone. And then it says, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we have these stones. We are living stones. Come to the living stone, and we have this stone. This, for us, will represent Christ, the living stone to whom we come together as a community, week in and week out, day in and day out. And like we as living stones, as we come to the living stone, surround him, and we are built into a spiritual house where God is present. God is housed among the community of his followers, is the image that Peter is using, and is the image of the stones that we will enter into the bowl together. And finally, bowls are open at the top. Welcome to all to enter into our covenant community, all who would come to the living stone and, like living stones, be built into a spiritual house. The bowl is open. We are welcome to all to join into the community of faith that we have been called to. We have one more symbol outside of that, and that is this candle this morning that I will light now. And this candle goes along with our baptismal colors and imagery. And as we'll talk about next week on Pentecost, the church is the combination, the coming together of people of faith and the Spirit of God. And so this candle represents the Spirit of God at work in and amongst the community, which makes a church a church. So this symbols are functional too. Symbols help us to be reminded of who we are. Hopefully, when we look at this bowl, we will be reminded of our baptismal identity, of coming to the living stone, of being stones ourselves, of being drawn together more deeply into the unity together, of the Spirit being among us. It will remind us of that, and as it reminds us of it, we will hopefully live that reality out, live that calling out more fully. So, when we practice this symbol, when we engage in this symbol today, and it'll be one that lives with us, it is not a hoop to jump through. It is, I think, a meaningful, formative practice of coming together as a community and expressing our commitment to God and to one another together. It's a beautiful opportunity to create and experience and remind us of the community that we're called to. And when others enter into our community, to be able to say to them, this is about who we are. This is the covenant community that we are a part of. Come, be welcomed, be participants in this covenant community. Let's take a moment to pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the symbols, the many symbols that you have given us, crosses, bread, cup, water, fire. So many symbols to remind us and draw us into the deeper mysteries of who you are and what you have done that are beyond our words. And God, I pray that you would bless this symbol. May it be something for us that draws us back into our commitment to you and to one another, our covenant of grace, of truth, of participation, of accountability, of being the people that you've called us to be as we live the gospel life together, worshiping you, growing as your disciples, being sent out into the world to represent you. We pray that we would continue to come back to this symbol and know who we are and be able to live out that reality together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.